Imagine building a public transit hub that requires moving enough earth to build a small city.
Right, or installing enough fiber optic cable to cross the North American continent twice.
Exactly. And then capping it all off with a literal demonic horse statue that actually killed its own creator. Welcome to the Denver International Airport.
It's a property that just completely defies every conventional metric of commercial real estate. And that is the specific reason we are opening this dossier today.
Yeah, we are adopting a bit of a different perspective for this deep dive. You and I are acting as investigative producers today, sitting in the dark, reviewing the private case files of Priyanshu Adathakar.
Also known in these logs as Agent J. Sterling.
Right. Pri is the lead investigative reporter behind the Midnight Ledger. And for you listening, you need to understand that Pri operates with this incredibly unique dual role.
Yeah, he's an investment advisor and a peer to other realtors.
Exactly. He's the person usually brought in to solve the complex zoning riddles, you know, or the financial black holes that stall major high-stakes deals. He knows intimately what a normal mega project ledger looks like.
And how elite investors mitigate risk. Which makes his findings on case file DEN-001 so deeply unsettling.
It really does. So we aren't the experts today. Pri is. Our mission is to unpack his latest report from the ground in Colorado to see exactly where commercial real estate anomalies end and where legitimate urban legends begin.
So let's set the stage for you. You've probably flown through Denver, maybe grabbed a coffee at your gate, and never actually realized what you were standing on.
Right, because DEN isn't just a transit hub. It was built on 33,000 acres of Colorado prairie.
Deliberately positioned miles outside the city proper.
Yeah, miles away.
Yeah.
And it finished at an estimated $4.8 billion. That is a staggering 72% over budget.
And in commercial real estate, a budget does not just inflate by nearly $2 billion because of, you know, standard inflation or minor supply chain delays.
No, definitely not.
You calculate square footage, you check zoning permits, and the numbers are supposed to be binary. I mean, a ledger balances.
Right.
But in this report, Pri uncovers how the surface level story, like the official narrative of incompetent engineering, is actually a carefully constructed financial facade.
Yeah, to really understand how a 72% overrun gets hidden in plain sight, we have to look past the terminals and the runways.
Exactly. You can't just dive into the weird art without looking at the literal foundation. Pri's case file insists we start with the crater.
The crater. We have to explore the massive physical and financial footprint that birthed, well, every single conspiracy theory about this place.
So officially, the story goes that DEN suffered this multi-million dollar engineering failure with its original automated baggage system.
Oh, yeah. That was a famous disaster in the early 90s.
Right. The system relied on laser scanners that misread barcodes, carts derailed, luggage was literally shredded on the tracks.
Which supposedly delayed the opening of the airport for over a year.
But Pri's investigation into the ledger shows something much darker. What Pri's reporting is that the baggage system was a fiscal black hole designed to mask a completely different project.
It functioned as a cover for massive capital expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sheer scale of the excavation is what stops me in my tracks.
It's unbelievable.
Pri's file logs 110 million cubic yards of earth removed. Let me just put that into perspective for you.
Please do.
The Panama Canal, which is one of the largest engineering feats in human history, required moving about 268 million cubic yards.
Wow.
Yeah. They moved almost half of Panama Canal's worth of dirt just to build an airport in the flat Colorado prairie.
And one of the sources in the Midnight Ledger file, an operative referred to as Agent Gray, points out the mechanical reality of that volume.
Right.
Moving 110 million cubic yards of earth requires a logistical fleet of dump trucks running 24 hours a day for months.
It's massive.
It is the volume required to build a sprawling underground city. It completely shatters the normal architectural parameters for just, you know, a few transit tunnels.
And it isn't just the dirt. The file meticulously logs the installation of over 5,300 miles of fiber optic cables.
5,300 miles.
Yeah. The entire coast-to-coast span of the United States is roughly 3,000 miles. Why does a single transit hub need enough cable to cross the country almost twice?
Right. What kind of data is it even carrying?
Exactly. I mean, an airport needs communication lines for air traffic control and terminal operation. Sure.
Sure.
But this is the kind of infrastructure you lay down for a massive centralized intelligence hub.
It points to a subterranean data network that just drastically dwarfs the needs of a commercial airport.
Yeah.
And Pri uses his methodology as an elite real estate advisor to highlight an even bigger structural red flag here.
Of the buried building.
Yes. During the initial construction phase, there are reports that five massive buildings were completely constructed.
Not just framed out.
No, fully constructed. And then, inexplicably, they were deemed incorrectly built and just buried. Entire floors walled off and removed from the public blueprints.
Wait, how does that even happen mechanically? In a normal commercial project, you don't just, bury a five-story building because of a drafting error.
You don't. In any normal transaction, a buried building or an inaccessible subterranean floor triggers catastrophic liabilities.
Right.
If you leave thousands of tons of concrete and steel underground, it alters the water table. You'd have mandatory environmental reviews for soil contamination.
Not to mention structural audits.
Exactly, to ensure the buried concrete doesn't collapse and create sinkholes under the weight of the runways above, and endless permitting hurdles from the EPA.
But here, complete silence.
Absolute silent.
And what Pri uncovers next is a chilling note from a source calling themselves XTS agent.
Yeah, this part is wild.
This former agent claims to have seen things in Terminal A that simply aren't on any official map. Specifically, heavy-duty elevators that only go way down.
Past any acknowledged sublevels or baggage carousels.
Right. Which brings us to the regulatory oversight, or rather, the glaring lack of it.
Yeah, the FAA. The Federal Aviation Administration oversees every square inch of airspace and airport infrastructure in the country.
But they have maintained absolute silence regarding these buried structures.
The regulatory body that will ground commercial flights over a misaligned runway light has absolutely nothing to say about a subterranean complex the size of a small city beneath one of the country's busiest hubs.
It's like hiring a contractor for a kitchen remodel and finding out they accidentally excavated a five-story underground bunker, walled it off, and then just completely refused to talk about it. At what point does incompetent engineering become an intentional cover-up? You don't accidentally lay 5,300 miles of fiber optic cable because somebody misread a schematic.
No, you don't. And that is the core of Pri's thesis. The sheer scale of the buried infrastructure requires immense, deliberate capital expenditure. To hide that level of spending billing for phantom replacement parts, funneling cash through endless consulting fees for a broken baggage system, you need a public distraction.
You need a cover story so massive and jarring that people are forced to look up instead of down.
Which brings us to the ultimate distraction. Because if you survive the labyrinth beneath, you are greeted by the airport's welcoming committee above ground.
And it is not a friendly face. We really need to talk about the Fable Sentinel. We need to talk about Blucifer.
Officially, it is a sculpture titled Mustang. But anyone who has driven up the Peña Boulevard approach today knows exactly why the locals call it Blucifer.
It is a 32-foot-tall, anatomically terrifying cobalt blue horse with literally glowing red eyes.
Just rearing up on its hind legs right at the entrance of the airport.
Looking like it just galloped out of the underworld. But, the aesthetic isn't even the darkest part. It has a literal body count.
The tragic backstory of this piece is well documented, and Pri includes it to highlight the ominous aura deliberately maintained surrounding the property.
Where the artist Luis Jimenez was killed by his own creation.
Yeah, a massive piece of the sculpture came loose in his studio, pinned him against a steel support, and severed his femoral artery.
He bled to death, and yet the airport management still decided to put it up.
Which says a lot. But the Midnight Ledger file goes deeper than just the tragic history. Pri logs bizarre traveler reports.
We're talking about severe electronic interference, cell phones dying, and unexplainable nausea experienced by people who spend more than 20 minutes in the direct proximity of the statue's gaze.
It essentially creates a localized zone of discomfort. And when you analyze commercial real estate, specifically hospitality or transit hubs, the entire goal is frictionless movement.
Right. You want soothing environments, soft lighting, intuitive layouts to encourage relaxation and retail spending.
Exactly. Blucifer is the antithesis of commercial design logic. It is textbook hostile architecture.
And then you have the aerial anomalies, which further defy any logical design parameters.
Yeah, Pri's file includes a log from a secure comms channel, a commenter named TruthSeeker99,
who points out that if you look at the layout of the airport's runways from the air, they allegedly form the shape of a swastika.
Aside from the horrific symbolism, it is just a highly inefficient design for a runway system.
How so?
While most modern airports use parallel runways to maximize simultaneous takeoffs and landings without intersecting flight paths,
Oh, that makes sense.
but the pinwheel design at DN takes up an incredible amount of acreage, which accounts for a large chunk of those 33,000 acres, and it creates massive fuel-wasting taxiing times for airlines.
I have to ask you this because it drives me crazy reading through prize notes.
Yeah.
If a massive, terrifying statue literally killed its creator, and your runway layout is an inefficient pinwheel that looks like a hate symbol from space, why would management still decide this was the perfect way to greet stressed-out travelers trying to catch a 6 a.m. flight?
It's a great question.
Is this just incredibly tone-deaf art curation, or is it genuinely meant to be intimidating?
In commercial real estate, art and architecture are never just decoration. They are messaging. They establish authority and atmosphere. To retain Blucifer, despite the tragedy, despite the nausea reports, suggests that the intimidation is a feature, not a bug.
Wow.
It establishes a very specific hierarchy the moment you step onto the property. You are meant to feel small.
And that hierarchy, that messaging, it doesn't stop at the curb. We're moving from the intimidating exterior art to the official institutional symbols bolted into the floor inside the airport.
Because you might think, okay, a scary horse and a weird runway layout, maybe it's just really bad mid-90s design.
But then you walk into the Great Hall.
Right. This is where Pree's investigation bridges the gap between internet lore and physical institutional evidence.
Sitting right there in the open, in the center of the Great Hall, is a dedication capstone. And it prominently features the square and compasses, the literal symbol of the Freemason.
Which is quite the choice.
Now, I'm going to push back a little here, because Masons lay cornerstones for public buildings all the time. The White House, the U.S. Capitol.
Sure.
Why is Masonic capstone suddenly a massive red flag in a Denver airport?
It's a fair challenge, but context is everything here. The red flag isn't just the Masonic symbol itself. It's what is carved into the stone alongside it.
Oh, right.
It credits the funding and dedication of the airport to the New World Airport Commission.
Which, according to Pry's meticulous public record search, officially does not exist.
Exactly.
There is no corporate registry, no civic board, no financial entity, no federal grant program named the New World Airport Commission.
We have a non-existent commission leaving a stone with Masonic symbols, and right under that, an inscription that reads, "The great work is underway, restricted data."
Why would a public transit hub feature a capstone referencing restricted data? Sounds like something out of a Cold War bunker facility.
It really does.
And it makes perfect sense when you look at what surrounds the capstone, the Leo Tinguma murals.
Officially, the airport claims these massive, sprawling murals are themed around peace and children of the world overcoming war.
But Pry's visual analysis in the case file points out that the imagery is distinctly, overwhelmingly apocalyptic.
It is straight up nightmare fuel.
You have a towering, terrifying soldier wearing a gas mask, wielding a scimitar, and stabbing a dove. There are burning cities, extinct animals in glass cases, and people huddled in despair in subterranean-looking spaces.
It's supposed to be peace, but you have to walk past the literal apocalypse to get to your gate at United.
To understand why this matters, you really have to look at the historical context of the Cold War.
Right. During that era, massive civic projects were frequently designed as dual-use infrastructure.
A highway wasn't just a highway. It was an emergency runway for military aircraft.
A post office had a designated fallout shelter in the basement.
So when you combine apocalyptic art showing people surviving underground with a Masonic dedication from a New World Commission, you can see why Den became the ultimate breeding ground for New World Order fallout shelter theories.
From a real estate perspective, Prey points out this is a catastrophic branding failure if your goal is to be a welcoming public utility.
But if the goal is to signal power, exclusivity, and hidden depth to a specific elite group of investors or insiders, it is a masterstroke.
It practically advertises that the surface is just an illusion.
Which brings us to Section 4 of Prey's case file. It details how management handles this legacy today.
The reptilian PR shift. This is where the methodology of a seasoned realtor and advisor really shines.
Yeah. Pries recognizes that narrative control is the most valuable asset in any controversial commercial real estate deal.
After years of officially debunking the theories, putting out dry press releases saying, no, we don't have bunkers.
DN leadership decided on a brilliant pivot. Around 2018, they were undergoing a massive renovation project in the main terminal, and instead of plain white construction dividers, they put up these massive self-aware posters.
They featured graphics of lizards in business suits holding briefcases.
They had signs jokingly asking travelers, are we building an Illuminati headquarters or just a better food court?
They literally put the conspiracies on the walls.
And Pree's case file classifies this as a psychological op, a psyop.
Right.
His theory is that by using humor to mask the truth, the airport effectively gaslit the public.
The lizard people's lair went from being this dark, whispered secret to a literal corporate joke.
And according to Pree, that makes it the perfect hiding spot. Now, I have to challenge this analysis.
Go ahead.
I look at that 2018 campaign, and I think, isn't it significantly more likely that a savvy, highly exhausted social media and marketing team just decided to have some fun with internet trolls?
Sure, viral marketing is cheap.
Exactly. Isn't it just a great way to get engagement online rather than executing a high-level psychological operation to hide elite subterranean bunkers?
That is the natural logical assumption.
Right.
But if we pivot back to Pree's core real estate perspective, the outcome is exactly the same, whether it was an intentional psyop orchestrated by a shadow government or just an edgy marketing campaign designed by a PR firm.
The result is weaponized obfuscation.
Weaponized obfuscation. It's like a corporate squid ink defense.
You punk the water so full of absurd comedic conspiracies like lizards in suits that financial auditors and journalists can't even see the actual 72% budget overrun right in front of them.
It is a phenomenal business concept. When you are laughing at a cartoon lizard, you are not filing Freedom of Information Act requests about the budget.
You are not asking the FAA why they won't comment on the five buried buildings.
You aren't asking how 110 million cubic yards of earth were displaced without a trace.
The humor neutralizes the inquiry. It solves the public relations puzzle that was stalling the unquestioned acceptance of the space.
Bringing it all together, the bottom line of Priyanshu of the Thakur's report is that the Denver International Airport represents a total engineered lack of transparency in mega-scale commercial real estate.
It proves how easily massive financial anomalies, billions of dollars, thousands of miles of cable, entire buried complexes can be completely swept under the rug if you just distract the public with a glowing-eyed horse and a few lizard jokes.
It is a vital lesson for any elite investor or even an everyday traveler. The official ledger is rarely the complete story.
The true nature of an asset is often buried beneath the surface, guarded by layers of distraction, intimidation, and eventually weaponized humor.
Pree's findings cement the reality that in deep state infrastructure, the numbers don't always add up. They just get buried deeper.
So why does this matter to you, the listener? Because the next time you travel, the next time you walk through a massive public space or hear about a $1 billion civic project, you need to look closer at the spaces you occupy.
Don't just look at the art on the walls or the funny signs. Think about the foundation beneath your feet.
Because the real story, the true ledger, is almost always buried in the budget and the redacted blueprints.
And it leaves us with a rather unsettling final thought from Pree's investigation.
Yeah. If a powerful organization can successfully use self-aware humor, memes, and cartoon lizards to make their absolute darkest rumors seem ridiculous to the general public,
how would we ever be able to recognize an actual world-altering conspiracy if it was staring us right in the face?
We might just take a selfie with it and catch our flight.
We'd look right at the ledger, see the missing numbers, and laugh it off.
Until next time, keep your eyes open.